Secrets can lead to misunderstanding. Misunderstanding can cause fear. Everyone knows what fear can do. We are here to learn and shine the bright light of truth on these stories. You will know why Show Me Scares.
Hello.
Hey there.
I'm Shayla.
And I'm Terry.
Happy New Year.
2021 is here.
More importantly, 2020 is gone.
Shh, we don't say those words anymore. Or those numbers anymore.
Yeah. Oh, 2020. Okay. Shit. I messed up already. Okay. So, we dub ourselves a paranormal and true crime podcast, right? This story maybe doesn't fit into either of those, but maybe it does.
Oh,
it could be either, actually. But our name is Show Me Scares, and this one scared me. So
you're adorable.
That's why I think it fits and why I wanted to tell it. Also, it's just plain bizarre. And I have a little bit of like facts and stories that go along with it that really terrify me.
I'm excited to hear it.
Yeah. So, let's get right into the story. We'll chit-chat afterward. If you would like.
Oh, absolutely.
Are you ready? Ready for first story of 2021?
For yeah. Let's do it.
All right, here we go. In 1968, Gerald and Carrie Potter of Pontiac, Illinois. I think it's Pontiac.
It is.
For some reason, I doubted myself after I said it. I was like, was that really what it was? They were happily married and living what seemed like a nearly perfect life.
Nice.
Yes. They had two daughters that were grown and married. Great. Good job.
Raised them right.
Apparently. Gerald ran a successful insurance business with his brother George. Gerald was also a member of many organizations like the Elks and Lions Clubs. And he was a city councilman for 16 years.
Community man.
Mm-hmm. He even ran for mayor once, unsuccessfully, but he ran. He was well-liked, known as somewhat of a jolly fellow.
Jolly fellow.
Yes. Everyone seemed to love Jerry, and they enjoyed any interaction they got to have with him. He was just a nice, awesome guy. He was happy all the time. Very helpful. I did find an article about him where he was named the head of a cancer organization where it was called a Cancer Crusade.
Very cool.
Yeah. And so he was doing these fundraisers and stuff for the American Cancer Society. So he was very involved.
Sounds like a great guy.
Yes. In the summer of 1968, Jerry and Carrie were set to attend the International Lions Club Convention in Dallas, Texas. Fun
Very
time.
Cool thing.
Sure. I don't know.
Somebody's got to do it.
On June 28th, 1968, a beautiful, clear summer day, they boarded a DC-3 plane in Kankakee, Illinois, bound for Dallas. There were 23 other passengers on board, most, if not all, going to the same convention. I think it was actually chartered, so I think it was all for this convention.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them knew the Potters and were even friends with Jerry, at least.
Of course.
The flight started smoothly, and after an hour in the air, the Potters were gazing out the window upon the Ozark Mountains in southwest Missouri.
It's a pretty view, I'm sure.
Yeah. At about 2 p.m., as the plane passed over Rolla, Missouri, Jerry told Carrie he was going to run to the lavatory.
Lavatory?
The poo-poo room. Is that better?
Why not just the bathroom? I mean.
Okay, so he's going to go to the bathroom.
Stop.
Or the poo-poo room.
Get out of town.
Carrie assured him that she would be there when he got back with
I'm
a
not
laugh.
Going anywhere.
Yeah. She's like, okay, I'll be here when you get back. After a quick stretch, Jerry headed toward the lavatory. Lavatory. Fucked it up, didn't I?
See, if you just stick with the bathroom.
All right, he headed to the bathroom, which was located at the back of the plane.
Aren't they normally?
Sure, yeah. I mean, all the ones that I've seen. But this is like a smaller plane than like what we went on.
Okay, just ask.
Much smaller.
I don't know. We went on a two-seater on the way back.
That last one was hairy. Carrie heard her husband's voice talking with someone. She looks back over her shoulder and she recognized James Chave. I probably butchered that. The president of the Ottawa Lions Club, making conversation with Jerry. They knew each other through the club, obviously. After exchanging a few words, Jerry moved on toward the washroom. We're going to call it everything we can.
What in the world is going on with you?
Carrie turned back to the scenery below. Just a few moments later, Carrie felt the plane shudder slightly.
A little hiccup.
Yeah. Time passed and you're Terry. Welcome to 2021. I still can't talk. It's great. Time passed and Carrie started to wonder what was taking Jerry so long.
That's kind of hard. Terry, Carrie, Jerry.
I know. That's a lot of Aries. She thought of the shutter and worried that he might have fallen while in the bathroom and could maybe need help, or he could have had a heart attack in the bathroom. You know, she starts having these worst case scenarios mm-hmm. in her head, right?
It happens. Ugh.
So Carrie stopped a flight attendant and asked her to check on her husband, who she said has been in the bathroom for quite a while.
In the bathroom.
Yes.
Bathroom.
The lavatory. The attendant made her way to the back of the plane, no doubt dreading what she was going to have to do. Sir, did you have the clams? So she reaches the bathroom and finds it empty.
What?
No one's in there. The search began to find where Jerry had ended up. But knowing Jerry, he's a big social guy. He's Terry. And likes to talk to everyone. And maybe he's stopped to chat with more friends. Who knows?
Never know about old Jerry.
About this time, the co-pilot, Roy Backus, emerged from the cockpit. He made his way toward the back of the plane, trying not to alarm anyone. Just a moment before, the pilot, Miguel Cabeza, had noticed the door open sign suddenly flash on and asked Roy to check the doors. It had to be a malfunction in their light. Mm-hmm. So please go check it out. Good boy, Roy. The attendant met Roy as he neared the back of the plane and told him there was a problem. It seems a passenger is missing.
Well, this ain't good.
The blood drained from Roy's face as he asked if she was sure.
Wait, are you sure?
No, I forgot to look under a seat. Sorry. She replied that she was sure, and the two of them made their way to the exit door located in front of the lavatory.
Oh, no.
The door was unlatched and ajar.
Like nobody else noticed that this door was unlatched?
No, we'll get there.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. That's a valid question. Roy noticed a piece of chain lying on the floor near the door. That rhymes. This chain was a safety measure. It would not allow the door to come open more than a few inches should someone attempt to open it.
Mm-hmm.
It appeared the chain had been snapped. Roy rushed back to the cockpit with the broken chain in his hand. The flight attendant went to Carrie to try to calm her and comfort her because mm-hmm. her husband's missing and they're at 8,000 feet. Miguel Cabeza radioed the airport at Springfield, Missouri to request an emergency landing and was permitted to make a crippling landing there.
Crippling landing?
Because the door
Why?
Was open and it kind of caused things to be off a little bit.
Gotcha.
The FAA took possession of the plane as soon as it touched down.
Oh, shit.
Yes. Everyone aboard was questioned, but no one had seen or even heard anything.
You think that door being open would make a lot of noise.
Yeah. Most of the passengers didn't know there was anything amiss until they were told they were making an emergency landing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would be scary, sitting there all of a sudden, oh, we're going to make an emergency landing.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
The area surrounding the flight path was thoroughly searched. There was a 9-year-old boy, Stevie Bell, in Marys County. He reported that he and a friend had seen something that looked like a folding chair falling from the sky around the time of the incident.
Oh, no.
This was really the only thing that was witnessed on the ground. That could have been related to the case.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not the only thing ever, but anyway. Police and volunteers, including 100 soldiers from nearby Fort Leonard Wood, searched tirelessly for days.
Wow.
No body was ever found. Carrie asked that they call off the search before someone else got hurt in the dense Ozark woods. Apparently, the weather turned bad. They were having floods, mm-hmm. terrible rains.
Of course.
And she said, just stop. Somebody else is going to get hurt, and I don't want mm-hmm. that. But then she sued Purdue Aviation for $800,000.
Wow.
Yes. The case was settled out of court for just a tenth of that, only $80,000. Which most went to legal fees and attorneys.
That wasn't even worth the heartbreak.
No. Just getting it in front of someone was difficult because they couldn't really prove anything had happened.
Couldn't prove the death if you don't have a body, yeah. right?
Mm-hmm. No one had a clue what had really come of Jerry Potter. He was just gone.
That's crazy.
There was also an issue of getting the life insurance paid out, since they technically couldn't prove he was even dead.
So she's getting the worst of all this.
Yes. They eventually did pay his life insurance out. So what happened to Jerry Potter? One of the passengers on the plane said, I think it was the guy he stopped to talk to, said mm-hmm. he was just there and then he was gone. He just vanished. Now, he's the only one that says anything about some of this stuff, which makes me wonder about him. Maybe he just wanted it in the papers. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much everyone aboard recalled that brief shudder or shake of the plane that happened as Jerry would have been getting near the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
But no one noticed anything more than that. If the door had been opened wide enough for him to go through, and he got sucked out, there would have been crazy amount of noise. I mean, you can imagine if you're driving a car down the road and you roll down the window. Now imagine you're 8,000 feet and flying in a plane going who knows how fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The wind that would come in from it, the noise.
Or even like the door getting suctioned back shut.
Yeah.
You would think make a loud noise.
Yeah, people would definitely have noticed that. And how would the door have shut back again if it was so prone to opening?
That's valid.
Like, if this door has a tendency to go that way and open so easily, why wouldn't it have just kept going open and stayed open?
True.
Instead, or noise. Like ripped it off its hinges, like instead of just it just shut again.
Mm-hmm.
So. Anyway, the door of the plane was found open, or at least ajar, like we said. But how did it get that way? What happened there?
How did the chain get broke or snapped?
So first, let's talk about what it takes to get that particular door open. Okay. Crew members and passengers both confirmed the door was closed, latched, and chained upon departure from Kankakee.
It's probably on the check sheet to make sure that.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
The door was hinged at the bottom and it opened to stairs for boarding and exiting the plane. Mm-hmm. The latch on the door had to be turned a full 180 degrees to unlock the bolts that held the door closed. It was not an easy latch to move either. Flight attendants could not move it on their own, and usually crew members had to latch and unlatch it for them.
Oh, so it took a little bit.
I even found some that said that flight attendants would team up two to a door to get that door open, because that's how much it took to move that lever.
Wow.
So as hard as it was to open on the ground, add that to the pressure of being in the air, that would have made it even more difficult.
So there's no way he would have mistaken it for the bathroom door or something.
Well, that's one of the theories we'll talk about.
Pick.
I know.
Jeez.
Then there's the chain. The chain was meant as like a last resort in keeping the door from opening wide enough to suck anything through it. There were immediately people offering theories on what could happen. Obviously,
well, I'm sure
you're doing it as we're talking about it. No, that's how it works, right?
Mm-hmm.
The obvious one is probably suicide. Okay, it would seem that the door had to be opened intentionally in order. I mean, if it's that hard to open, it would have to be you are making a conscious effort to open that. But there were no indicators at all that Jerry was in any way suicidal. He was the opposite of what you would be looking for in a suicidal person. And he was really looking forward to the event that he was headed to. So that doesn't jive. It doesn't work. Could he have mistaken the exit door for the door to the bathroom? Just like you said.
Well, they make it hard to go to the bathroom if they do.
There were letters on the door that clearly warned, huge letters that said, do not open during flight.
Exit.
Yeah. So.
There's no way.
And besides, like, if he's been in a plane, I don't care if you haven't been in a plane. You would never do that. You would never open that door, be like, oh, wonder what this does. The force that it would take, like, you would have to work so hard to get that door open, you would know that that wasn't the bathroom if that were the case. That makes no sense. But I get why people would, you know, you're trying, right? The pilot, Cabeza, he suggested that maybe he tripped on his way to the washroom and fell through the door.
Then what? How did the door get open?
Again, there's the deal with the latch. Why is the latch open? Could it be that it was missed? Could it be somebody was screwing around with the door and opened the latch? It was loose. He tripped and fell and went through the door. Yep, that one works. But who unlatched the door?
And who shut it? Or it was never shut, was it?
No, it was still ajar. So, there's also UFOs beaming him out in mid-flight. That's a theory. Okay, moving on. Some believe that he spontaneously combusted while he was in the bathroom and his ashes went down the toilet.
Are you kidding me right now?
We gotta look at everything, okay?
Moving on.
There's other theories about the involvement of the crew. Could he have died somehow and they created this whole thing to cover up the death?
That'd be something I'd go with before any of the other craziness.
Me too, probably, actually. But nothing has ever been found of his body, and the case remains completely unsolved.
Looking for his body would be crazy hard. In the Ozark Mountains?
Come on. But I mean,
he could be in trees, in a cave,
absolutely,
in a mountain.
So there was actually, in one of the papers, they were talking about the searchers that were out there and how they were walking through brush that was so dense that they were 10 feet apart and couldn't see each other.
Yeah,
so
crazy.
He could have been lost, but I would think it's been 50 years.
Somebody might
eventually
come up on...
something would have came about. I mean, I can see how it could be totally lost and never found. Absolutely. But it's like it's frustrating.
Thorn bushes or...
Yeah.
If it was in a tree, surely his bones would be found by now.
Like, I would think, yeah.
But other than that, I don't know.
It's
crazy. But...
Do you think it could be some kind of supernatural force that he just was gone?
No way. Do you?
No. But it's freaking weird. It doesn't make sense.
And I feel like if somebody tried to cover up something, 23 people in a little plane like that, somebody would have noticed.
Yeah. So I don't know. How many people you think were on that plane when we came from Dallas to here?
I'd say probably 40.
40? You think there were that many?
Yeah.
Okay. So imagine that plane. A door came open on that plane.
Everybody would know.
Everyone would have known. Immediately.
For sure.
So, like, that's what's weird. Because I can put myself on that plane. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And be like, no, how did you miss that? Like, I wish they would take it up in the air and fly it and, like, push the door open. Put a chute on somebody. They can fly out. It's fine. Push that door open a little bit.
Or at least
enough
try.
For someone to be sucked out of it and just see. How much noise is there?
Or how much pressure
it takes
for it to be open?
Does the plane shudder like that, like they said?
And how'd the chain get broke?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that could be the force of him going through the door. I mean...
It takes a lot to snap a chain.
I agree.
I don't even think my fat butt would snap a chain.
Oh, yeah, you could snap a chain. With
hey.
Your teeth.
Oh, you stop.
God. No, I mean, it's a possibility. I mean, but the only logical explanation for me is he did it on purpose. And
you
that,
still would hear the door open?
Well, absolutely. But I'm saying, let's say that all of them are stupid and didn't realize. Everybody on board was high. Let's go with that. They're all
or
high.
Or sleep or something.
And...
My gosh.
And... He walked over and walked out the door.
No.
That's the only thing I got.
So you're thinking suicide?
That's the only thing that makes any sense to me. He wasn't suicidal, so it doesn't make sense. Like, if you look all the way into it, but on the surface,
mm-hmm.
that's the most logical explanation to me. He had to have meant to do what happened. He had to have meant to do it. But it doesn't jive with the full story. So, boo.
That's why it's a mystery.
It is. Yeah.
And still no body.
No, still no body. So you want to go look for it?
No.
I never get to do anything that I want to
do. Oh, hail.
I just want to go look for a body. Why can't we do that?
Take your happy ass out and look for one.
We're not far from there.
Rolla?
Yeah.
I know.
Okay. We'll do that this summer. It'll be great. It'll be fun.
Hey, yeah. Woohoo. You'll probably find something you don't want to find.
Like a body? Let's be completely honest.
Well, if you don't want to find one, why would we go look for one?
I don't know. She died. Carrie died in 1991. So it's not like, I don't know about his daughters. I couldn't find them, but like, I don't know if it would even be bringing closure to anybody, but that would be the reason that I would want to, because I would be like, we found him. And I would be a hero because everybody wants to know what happened to him. Like, we need to find somebody to fund this expedition because I want to do it.
Calm down there.
Okay.
Pants.
I'm fine. I'm good. Reining it back in. So here's some interesting things. All right.
Oh gosh.
So while I researched this case, I found something rather alarming.
Oh.
Yeah.
More alarming than that?
Yeah. The number of people that just fall out of airplanes.
The look on your face right now.
Well, because it's not all that uncommon.
Well, that's promising now that you made me fly from our first time.
I know, right? Well, that's why, you know, wait until afterward.
Well, it's not going to happen again. It's road trips from now on.
God. Okay, so let's talk about some of these people.
Okay.
On March 11th, 1947, TWA navigator George Hart was sucked out of a plane over the North Atlantic off Newfoundland where the clear plastic compartment in which he was working was wrenched from the craft's fuselage at 19,000 feet. I have questions. Do you die before you make it to the ground? Because, God, I hope so. Because that's a long, 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 long way to think about what's coming.
Not that just enjoy the scenery while you have it.
Be like, I always wondered what it was like to fly.
This is going to suck.
God. On February 11th, 1950, Pan Am steward John Harris plunged through a plane door that opened suddenly at 8,000 feet, which is exactly how high this plane was.
I am not ever sitting next to those doors.
Yep. He fell to the marshy Long Island's northern shore. The same day,
shut up.
Ex-paratrooper Mark Fisher Galati, a steward on an Eastern DC-3, same kind of plane, was jerked out of a plane through an improperly closed door, similar to the one which Potter plunged through.
Well, now that's interesting.
It is interesting. Listen to the rest of this story. He hung on.
Shut up.
Doggedly as the craft descended from 2,500 feet and landed in Miami. He clung to the door handle, his right leg caught in the door chain. He survived it.
Oh my God.
I mean, from what I found, I couldn't find anything that said he died. Nothing said he lived, but nothing said he died. And all these other people, it was like all these people died. But his picture's missing from that, so I think this dude survived getting sucked out of a plane at 8,000 feet.
And rolled it out.
Yeah. He just held on.
I'm sure he shit his bridges a little bit.
Oh, God. I'm sure he did, too.
Can you imagine?
No. No, I can't.
I don't want to fly ever again.
I'm wondering. On July 28th, 1962, Mrs. Marie Westbrook Capillaro, wife of an Italian banker, was yanked out over the back of her seat when the cabin door behind her opened at 12,000 feet over Rio de Janeiro.
So she was sucked out of her seat.
Sitting in her seat. Wait for this, and this may explain a little bit more about the story we're talking about. She was taking photographs through the window of the Pan Am plane at the time, and the weird mishap occurred so swiftly that her husband sitting next to her didn't even notice her disappear.
She
was literally there and then gone. So fast, he didn't even know she was gone.
Did anybody recognize it?
I don't know.
The door was open. Sorry, I had a stutter fit there.
But, I mean, it's strong enough to, like, she's gone out of her seat, and the person sitting next to her, not a clue that it happens until she's just not there.
Oh, my God.
So, that makes you think maybe it's not as loud as you would think. But everything that I found said, no, dude, it would be noisy as shit. You would know. But according to that one, that's not the truth, at least in that case.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that nuts?
Yes.
Dude. So, also, I found this little nugget that is...
Now, you and nuggets don't get along.
No, this nugget's great. It's a disturbing little nugget, but anyway. The all-time record for surviving the highest fall without a parachute... Yeah, that's a thing.
Well, I don't want to break that record.
It belongs to Yugoslavian flight attendant Vesna Volovic. She was the sole survivor of a bomb placed on board JAT Flight 367 in 1972, which saw her plummet more than 30,000 feet.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Experts believe she survived by being trapped by a food cart inside a section of the aircraft's fuselage, which subsequently landed at an angle on a heavily wooded and snowy mountainside in Czechoslovakia.
Blows my mind.
She fell 30,000 feet and survived it.
Oh my gosh.
No. I mean, I don't know what kind of shape she was in, but
I wonder if she remembers it all.
I don't know.
That blows my mind.
Isn't that nutso?
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
This is off the thing.
Okay.
But, so the Titanic, a woman who survived the Titanic sinking, she survived two other ships sinking.
I remember that.
And who would get back on a ship after that shit?
Yeah, not me.
I'd be like, three times? Three?
Have we invented those things that fly yet? Because I'm done with, the boats.
Oh, my
She'd
gosh.
Probably be, you know, one of these people who flew out of an airplane, too, and hung on until they hit the ground.
What
the
heck? Oh, my gosh. Blows my mind.
So those are terrifying, right?
For sure.
I'm like, what? And then, I don't know if you remember this or not, but this was, I didn't write this one down, but I just remembered it. What was it, 2 years ago, 3 years ago now? It was in 2018, that woman got sucked out of the airplane. There was a fan blade. I don't know. It's like a fan on the engine. Mm-hmm. It came loose and hit her window. And she just, like, her arm, her head, and half her torso was hanging out. She died. And, yeah, that happened in 2018 on a Southwest airline.
What?
Yeah.
Holy crap. I'm never flying again. You can't make me. Your little trips are going to be canceled.
Well, I guess we better start liking boats, because if we want to go outside the country.
We don't have to go outside the country now, do we?
No. I guess Canada and Mexico is the only places we can go. Oh my God. So let's talk about the other, like, mysterious part of this, right? The fact that maybe he just disappeared. Maybe he
How
just...
How does somebody just disappear?
Oh, I'm glad you asked.
Oh, tell me.
I don't know, but I'm going to tell you some more stories where people just disappeared. These are weird. These are very much the same, like, idea as the fact that he's flying. He gets on the plane. Everybody sees him. He talks to people.
And gone.
But he doesn't make it to where he's going. We pretty much know we figured this one out. He fell out of the damn plane. Okay. I get it. I'm there. But I'm just saying there are other instances where you can't explain it mm-hmm. that easily. So that's my way to talk about these. So here we go.
That was the only reason why you started this story.
No, it wasn't. I love this story because it's
blows your mind.
Terrifying. On September 16th, 1890, Louis Le Prince visited his brother in Dijon, France.
Ooh, France.
Yeah. After that, he boarded a train to head home. When the train got to its destination, Le Prince nor his luggage were anywhere to be found. Gone. From a train.
You could jump off trains.
Okay. Le Prince had been seen by various witnesses checking his luggage and then entering his cabin. And after that, nothing. No, nobody saw him again. No one saw him leave his cabin. No one saw him get off the train at any time. The windows to his cabin were closed and locked.
Oh.
Yes. And no one has ever been able to figure it out since.
That is awkward.
Yeah.
Maybe he wanted to disappear.
Maybe.
Maybe he had a way to do it.
Here's another one that's very similar, only this happened in Vermont in the United States. So, there is this 56-year-old James Tedford in Vermont. He comes home and his wife, who is 28 years old. Yeah, gross. She Stop. Is just gone. Without a trace.
His wife?
Mm-hmm. Gone. Apparently, he kind of went nutso after that. Lost his mind. Complete misery.
Aww.
And he ended up in a veteran's home because he was a World War II veteran.
Mm-hmm.
And he would only leave very rarely to go visit relatives. On one of those trips, he visits St. Albans, Vermont on December 1st, 1949. He leaves to come home and he boards a bus.
Okay.
The bus was very crowded. He was seen by numerous witnesses buying his ticket, boarding the bus for Bennington with his luggage. The bus journey was a nonstop ride. No stops.
Okay.
And once he boarded, a lot of the passengers said he fell asleep in a seat. They saw him sleeping in a seat. When the bus reached his destination, Tedford was nowhere to be found. He never got off the bus. There were no stops and no one could find him. His luggage remained and a discarded bus timetable was found open on his seat. The bus driver and like 14 people testified that they had seen him sleeping in his seat. The bus had not made any stops.
That's weird.
But he was just gone.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, that was an interesting one because it kind of ties into this series of weird disappearances that occurred from like 1945-ish to 1950.
Mm-hmm.
There were several unconnected people that had nothing in common with each other, pretty much. And they vanished in this same area in southwestern Vermont. And this area has become known as the Bennington Triangle.
Weird.
Yeah. So it's in Vermont, so that's why we haven't done that one. But that was my way to talk about the Bennington Triangle just a tad.
Huh.
Is that he's one of many.
Well, that's scary.
Yes.
We're not never going there.
I don't know why we would go to Vermont.
Is there nothing there?
Well, I mean, like I think it's a lot like here, only colder.
Ew, no thank you. I'm so over this cold.
I mean, I think it's really kind of, it's beautiful, you know, yeah. Bed and breakfasts and that kind of stuff. Like very much a place where like people from New York go get away. Yeah.
Get away from the rush.
Yeah. So, but that's an interesting one. If you want me to do the Bennington Triangle, tell me and we'll do that.
Wow. Are you wanting to do it, I'm guessing?
It's a big one. It's one that everybody's done. So that's why I know about it. So I would love to. I'd love to talk about it and let our people know about it. But I also don't want to, you know, be heading out of the state all the time if they don't want to hear that. So that's the story. That's the story for this week.
That's crazy. All that's crazy.
I know. So, I mean, we have poor Jerry, who it appears was sucked out of a plane at 8,000 feet over Rolla, Missouri. But then these other people, so like the real like down to earth kind of logical explanation for it. We talked about all the other people who have unfortunately been sucked out of airplanes. But then there's also this like little bit of paranormal kind of weirdness, that's mysteriousness true. To it that maybe they just disappeared. They found the other people's bodies, the ones that we talked about that was real. We know what happened. But then there's all these others that just vanish. And even if it's not connected or it's not the same kind of deal, I mean, it leads us to talk about them and what happened there because those are frustrating when it's like, they're just gone.
Especially with family. Like,
yeah,
man,
I can't even imagine being family of somebody who just
disappeared,
is gone all of a sudden. Like,
or have no answers to it.
Because you are always, always going to have that hope that they're going to walk in someday.
No closure.
They're just going to walk in someday. And the pain you would feel knowing really in your gut, it's not going to happen.
Right.
But then there's that hope that just eats at you constantly. God.
No.
Yeah. Suck. So, That was awful a great story, huh?
It was a good find, but it sucked.
Yeah, it sucks.
It sucks for you because I'm not flying anymore.
That's great. We're going to have these terribly long road trips.
You like road trips.
I do like road trips. I like flying and getting there quickly, though, too.
Does it not scare you now?
No. I mean, it happened before I flew, and I just didn't know about it.
That's valid. I guess you can disappear from anywhere, though.
Yeah.
Car.
Well, train, that was what I was going to say. Like, also think about car accidents. I mean, if you think about how often that happens.
I don't have to think about it. I know.
I actually saw a statistic that said 95% of plane crashes have a 95% survival rate.
What?
I know. Doesn't that seem really high?
That seems really, wrong.
That's what Google said. So
well, Google
I didn't ask Google
together.
That, but they told me anyway. And I was like, what? 95%? That's crazy. You would think falling out of the sky would be very, very fatal.
Yeah.
Apparently not.
I wonder what they count as crashes. Emergency landings? Does that count as a crash?
No. It wasn't called a crash. I can't remember what they called it.
I was just wondering if that counted so they can add that up or not.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. You may be onto something there.
What did you just say?
You're such an idiot. So, it's 2021. 2020 can fuck off.
Stop saying those numbers. I'm over it.
Me too. Hopefully, we're going to see light at the end of this tunnel soon.
And it's not the death of us.
Yeah. So, what are you?
Wow.
What are you looking forward to most in 2021? We can keep it podcast centered if you'd rather, and that's fine.
I want to travel again, to be honest. I don't want our trips to be canceled anymore. No. So we can do Facebook Lives. At our destinations.
I know. I really want to be able to do a destination live. Mm-hmm. That would be so much fun.
I agree. Yeah.
So more traveling for you.
Yes.
Anything else on your 2021 list?
Podcast wise?
Yeah. Or, I mean, you can talk personal if you feel comfortable. That's fine.
I just want to work on us.
Mm-hmm.
Health. And
yeah, because our marriage is in the shitter right now.
It is?
No, you just said it that way. Listeners are like, oh, really?
What's ourselves, going on, girls? Like our health and just financials, just stuff like that.
Yeah.
But that's always a thing.
I think that is. I think that's constant. I mean, everybody's like, no, we can do it. Like, new year, this is my goals. And mm-hmm. I think finance and health is always the big ones. But I think that's something that you're constantly working on. You don't ever stop.
That's true.
That.
You don't just start at the first of the year.
No, you know, I mean, you don't ever, every year that's going to be your goal because that should always be your mm-hmm. goal.
Well, mine's like, definitely traveling then.
Yeah.
How about you?
No, that's great. I like the traveling because we kind of got screwed over this year. Or last year. Thank God we can say that now. But I want to do more Facebook Lives. I would like to do some YouTube videos. I want to grow this a little bit.
Okay.
That's also really scary because it's so hard for me to keep a good schedule because of my work and school schedule. So that kind of blows. But there's so many things that I want to do. I want to talk to. I want to do more interviews. That's a big one. I want to do more interviews. Ooh, I want to talk to more people. And anybody who knows me, like on a personal level, first of all, is shocked that I want a podcast because I don't talk to people often. So just putting myself out there in that way is not me.
I was
at
just
all.
Telling you how proud I was that this podcast has lasted almost a year. And yeah. meeting people, talking to people, and you're doing Facebook Lives. Like,
yeah,
my mind blown up.
Mine too.
Yeah,
because this is not me. But I think we've found a nice little corner here that we can call ours. That is, we do the paranormal that a lot of people have covered, probably. I mean, there's a lot of the stories that we do that are common. It's hard to find the ones that aren't common, and that, mm-hmm. they're not common because there's not a lot of information on them. So
that's
what's difficult. And I'm trying to dig into those a little bit more, get in touch with historical societies and stuff like that, and get all that information and be able to make these big stories out of not a whole lot at the beginning. But then we also have our true crime that we do that is so old.
I like that part of our little corner.
That's what I mean. Of the podcasts that I listen to, and I listen to a lot, we're unique in that.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of people cover a lot of cases that are that old. And ours generally are very old.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes finding the information that much harder. I mean, I really hurt myself because those cases are nightmares to trying to make into some kind of cohesive and nice story for people to listen to. But
you like digging into that stuff.
I do.
You get lost in it and just.
I do.
See.
Oh, I love it. So I don't know if anybody has anything, any suggestions. I always want to listen to your suggestions. We've had some. And if you've given us suggestions, they're on the list. When I started this, I had about 70 episodes that I wanted to do. So we're what, like 30, maybe 40 in. So think about that when you're making a suggestion, unless it's like blow my head off amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably going to be a minute.
It's going to be on back burner for a little bit.
Unless you come to me and say, hey, this person at this historical society or this person who has all this information would like to talk to you about this. And it's not so much of a dig because I'm already digging into a lot mm-hmm. of others that I'm spread too thin already, and I can't devote my time to something new that quickly. But I do want to do them.
Yeah, we do have our board, and she has a notebook that's filled up a little bit with
full.
With people's suggestions.
So. Yeah. So I will be getting to those. And I also want some more ideas for Facebook Lives. I think showing our investigation videos, which seems so funny to me because I never thought I would be showing those videos, because to me it was almost like practice. Like everything we've done has been practice mm-hmm. to me, because we don't know what the hell we're doing. I mean, we've watched the shows, we've read the books, but we haven't put in the time. Like, we haven't had boots on the ground.
Boots on the ground.
You know what I mean? Like, we haven't been in it. And so, growing as an investigator takes so much time. And we are not there. We just do what we feel in the moment. Mm-hmm. And so,
practice makes perfect.
Yeah, but I really had so much fun doing our Crescent Live where we talked about all that.
Mm-hmm.
And showed our videos. That was so much fun. And so I think we will do more of those.
I like
it. And I would like to get some of those put together and get the take of the listeners and see what they think. Like, hey, maybe they're talking about this thing, you know, where we might think it makes no sense whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
It's always nice to have more brains on something.
For sure. So. And you mentioned talking about some of our murder cases mm-hmm. on Facebook Live.
Yeah.
Throwing that out there.
Yeah, because up until now, we've just done, like, we did, like, the generic, like, hey, here's who we are, ask us questions.
Mm-hmm.
But then we did the Crescent. We talked about doing the investigation videos, but half of our show is these true crime stories that we like to do. So the next Facebook Live will likely be a Bertha Gifford Facebook Live, because
ooh.
If we're going true crime, we're gonna come out swinging.
I like
with
it.
The big one that was my very favorite episode that we've done, maybe. I say that, but there's so many that I just, I'm like, oh, but what about this one? What about this one?
You just got so personal with that one.
Yeah, I did. So definitely want to do more Facebook Lives because they are so much fun.
You want to tell the listeners what you got for Christmas?
I got an on-air sign for the studio.
That is not what I'm talking about.
I will tell that in a minute. But, no, I looked at the wall where it's going to go and was like, oh, yeah. No, listen, I have been saying for, like, months, every time I'm sitting here recording, I look at that wall and I'm like, we need an on-air sign because that would be really f***ing cool.
I had to bleep the word out.
It's fine. And my daddy got me an on-air sign. What's wrong with you? Why do you look at me like that?
What did your sister get you?
Oh, I know. I know, I'm getting there. Okay, so my sister
your sister slash wife.
My sister slash wife. That sounds really weird.
Your sister's
and my sister and my wife together got me the... Oh, God. They got me the book Parallel Lives. What's the extended title? A Social History of Lizzie A. Borden and Her Fall River.
Yes.
So, I have said I want to do the Lizzie Borden case, the Borden murders.
But you said you wouldn't do it till you got that book.
That's I did. So now I have the book. But
and it's the
you
size
guys,
of a dictionary.
You guys, this book weighs like 10 pounds.
I did not. Now I know why that thing costs as much as it did.
It's like, what, 4 inches thick?
It's so big.
It's at least 4 inches thick. Oh. I bet it's 5 inches thick. It is so,
it's so big. Cool.
I cannot wait to get to read that. Oh, man, oh, man.
You're welcome.
And then, so I'm hoping... Worst case scenario, August, we will do the Borden murders because that's when they happened. I hope it's before then, but if not, we will do it in August or July because Lizzie's birthday is in July.
Oh my God. Now listen.
I want to do that, but I will tell you, I will warn you ahead of time, one episode is not going to cut it. No.
Calm down,
it's
Brandy.
Not going to cut it because I need to talk way more than that about the Borden murders.
You're going to lay it all out. Like, you're not making it into a case or some shit.
No. 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 I just want to tell the full story. And that includes after the murders, after the trial, after the acquittal of her life and who she was. Because she's known as some psycho, axe-wielding lunatic. And because...
You don't believe it. Anyway, are we going to try to fly to Massachusetts?
You said you won't get on a plane, so maybe not. No, I would love...
I thought it was funny when I said that.
If Terry truly wants to make me happy in life... She is going to take me to Fall River, Massachusetts so that I can see the home of the Bordens and Maplecroft, which was the home of Lizbeth Borden after her acquittal. So we shall see if that happens. That would be great. But I don't know if anybody wants to, you know, cash app something over here. For
You're horrible. Stop it.
So anyway, that's a look at 2021 and what's coming up. Maybe. I mean, like I said, the Borden is going to take a while, but we'll get there and it'll be a lot of fun.
For sure.
Also, I want to mention, and I say this all the time and nobody cares, but I'm going to say it again anyway. If anybody wants to investigate with us, I know the nasty C word, but COVID. I don't know where your mind went. But
shut up.
COVID. Bleh. I know. But we want to go. We want to do Missouri State Penitentiary. We want to do, I mean, we'll go stay at the Crescent again. If a group wants to go, that'd be fantastic. I love the Crescent.
And we get activity there, as mm-hmm. people have seen.
Mm-hmm. And we'll do Pythian again. Reach out. Let us know if you want to go to Pythian. That's an easy one. It's super easy for us to get in there.
Super fun.
Yes. And if you know of any places that will let us come and investigate or look into things or learn about things, let us know. Because we don't know unless we know. And we could know that it's haunted, but not know that somebody has some kind of a connection.
That will let us in there.
Yeah. Or that they will even let us in, period. You know? So let us know. And also, please let us know you want us to go. You want to go investigate with us, because we have so much fun. We went to Pythian just what, last month, mm-hmm. month before,
a couple months ago,
with some listeners and some friends, and we had a blast.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be all serious fun. And stuff. We had a blast just hanging out, and
yeah, and we got some really cool stuff happen. I mean, I really do think that everybody had a good time. So. Don't be nervous. I mean, like I said, I don't talk to people. I don't talk in front of people. I'm very bashful. I think that's a good word. I don't like it. But
you don't like
it's,
it?
It's like a...
That makes them want to sign up today to go with us.
No. It's like this safety that you feel in a group of people who are like-minded.
And, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So it's different. It's like being with family. That was corny, but still, that's what it is.
Gosh.
So,
anyway.
Let us know if you want to hang out anytime. We don't even have to do something scary. We can just talk about things.
It'll meet and greet.
It'll be fun. Yeah, it'll be great. So, do you have anything you would wish to add? Or no reviews this week, which is fine. I think we kind of got lazy with our episodes late in the year. But leave reviews.
I have nothing else. I think you covered it.
Okay. I did want to thank my father, not only for the on-air sign, but also these really cool t-shirts that he had made for us.
It was a really cool surprise.
He had this, like, he dreamed up this this design that he was dead set on getting done. So he took it to an artist and had it drawn up and then had t-shirts made. And they're really cool.
They're really cool. We should wear them on the next live.
Yeah, let's do that.
For sure.
So, and if you want a t-shirt like that, you would actually have to go through us, because we don't have rights to the design to put it online. So we can't really do that.
But we can
get you one if you want to mm-hmm. Purchase through that shop. We can do that. So let us know. And here's to 2021. Let's have a lot of fun
this
year.
Let's do this.
I'm so excited. So have a fantastic rest of your week, and we'll see you very soon on a Facebook Live.
Definitely.
Yes, because we're ready to go again. All right, guys. Stay safe. Stay healthy.
And we love you.
We love you so much. Bye.
Bye.